us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts before you now, and we ask you that you would truly speak to us and lift up our hearts to have a song of praise to you, that you are the keeper of your people Israel. O Lord, we pray, speak to us now through your servant. Graciously, O Lord, overcome anything that is a distraction within our minds, around us, even of your servant, O Lord. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you would bind Satan and you would grant your word to be heard, to be proclaimed and heard by each one of us. May you be glorified, O Lord, and may you now speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you see in the bulletin, we're going to read for our scripture 2 Timothy chapter 2, and our text is verses 11 through 13. So we'll read that when we read the scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2, right before Titus. Second Timothy chapter 2, let us listen to God's word. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will also be able to teach others. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Words of our text, 11 through 13. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Verse 14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Thus far, reading of God's word. May he also bless the proclamation of it. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, friends and visitors, it's commonly agreed by all writers that our text here this morning is part of a song that was sung by the early church. And it's a song of confession. And the context shows that this is a church that is being persecuted. Paul is writing this in prison. The church is undergoing great trials in faith. And that's why she sings this song. It is to encourage one another to be faithful to what we confess. And it's so important. This is not only for the one who this morning professed faith, but his profession is a reminder to all of us and what we have vowed as members. Here in our text, the Holy Spirit had Paul use a part of this song of confession. I say it's a part because that word "for" in verse 11, that's a connecting word to show that it follows from something earlier. But the Holy Spirit gave Paul to write this part of it. And it is significant that already in Paul's day, the church was formulating confessions of faith. And you notice here in our text, it's introduced as a faithful saying. That too is significant, because Paul, by the Holy Spirit, uses that expression, a faithful saying. He uses it 6 times in letters to Timothy and to Titus. And it's used to show you can truly count on this. And yeah, these faithful sayings, they're first addressed to the servants of Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy 1:2, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, calls Timothy a true son in the faith. And in Titus chapter 1, verse 4, he says, Titus, a true son of our common faith. You see, they were faced with fears and trials, temptations, hardships, and they are called to persevere, to keep on firm in the faith, to be firm in surrender and in submission to the Lord Jesus, whom they serve. But also, this inspired word also comes to the whole church of Jesus Christ. Whether we are young or whether we are older, all who make confession have the same call to duty and to faithfulness. And that's even shown here in our text with that repeated "we." See, that's about the communion of saints. It's about all who, as in verse 10, just before our text, all who obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And as should be true of all confessions, the center here too is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if in your Bible, in the New King James that you have, this is the case, but in mine it is. The hymn is italicized to show that it's added for English. But it certainly is proper given the context. So some English translations have just simply say, if we died together, we also live together, and so on. So they don't add that italicized hymn. But it is very clearly together with Christ. Because we read it, chapter 2, verse 1, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, right? So it's not be strong in yourself, you know, buck up and take the challenge. No, be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. Or verse 3, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, we read it, speaks of Jesus Christ of the seed of David, who was raised from the dead. Verse 10 speaks of salvation which is in Christ Jesus. The point is, it's all about service to Jesus Christ. And in fact, surrounding our text, the Holy Spirit uses various figures of speech in order to call and encourage to that service. So as we read, just quickly, before our text, we read about the dedicated soldier. He endures hardship. We read about the disciplined athlete who competes according to the rules. We read about the diligent farmer. He has to work hard before he has the fruit of his labors. And then after our text, about the faithful worker, he does not need to be ashamed. About a clean vessel for honor, useful for the master. And finally, a servant of the Lord. So it's very clear. It's all about service to Jesus Christ. And again, it's so very important. This is not only to young Timothy as a young minister. It is also to all the church, because all are called to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why, right after our text, it says, remind them of these things. And it is by charging them before the Lord, and so on. So all this to show it's quite proper and biblical to have as our theme for our text a song of confession by the church of Jesus Christ. We see in our text the confession in this faithful saying. It has two pairs. The first is in four lines, and it is about remaining true and faithful and enduring. And the second is also in four lines, and it's about becoming false and unfaithful. So for the first of these, we see our first point, the promise of glory with Christ in the way of faithfulness. So here we're looking at the first pair, which says, if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. We need to take some time to be sure we understand what it means when it says, if we died with him. We do get some help from the grammar of how this is written. In other words, about the if clauses there. Each of those pairs has a corresponding echo or parallel, if you will. So here, if we died, is echoed in if we endure. The point is, the meaning of them is related. If we died is related to if we endure. So that's why I said we get some idea through even the grammar. Well, in the Bible, dying with Christ is spoken of in two ways. One is to die to sin. That's what we read in Romans 6 earlier, right? It says if we died with Christ, and then the death that he died to sin once for all. And then likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. So that's one way of dying with Christ, dying to sin. The second way is to die to self, which means being willing to suffer even a martyr's death. Other ways it's expressed is to take up the cross and follow Christ. It is to die to or to give up comforts, the easy life, that kind of thing. And with that in mind, Paul by the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 15:31 said, I die daily. And so what we read for the law in 2 Corinthians 4, we read how Paul speaks of being hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, and so on. And then he says, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. And he says, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. So you see, it is in this second sense of dying to self that our text says, if we died with him. And then correspondingly, if we endure. And that's also shown in the context of our text. We read it, how Paul writes in verse 9, I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Or verse 10, I endure all things. It's all about if we died with him and if we endure. So, our text in this first pair is speaking of a life of dying to self, enduring whatever suffering and hardships the Lord has for me because I'm following Him. So it is not specifically about dying to sin as in Romans 6. But, brothers and sisters, there still is a close connection between our text and Romans 6. And there's a close connection between Romans 6, which is about dying to sin, and 2 Corinthians 4, which is about dying to self. That's why we read both for the law this morning. So it is only if we die to sin daily, which means again and again to kill the old man, our old sinful nature, only then do we also die to self, so that we are willing to endure the consequences of following our Lord, even to death, if He should will it. So you see, the one is an extension of the other. In other words, dying to self comes out of dying to sin. Only as, by God's grace and the power of His Spirit, we can say more and more, no to sin, no to the world, no to our own sinful natures, no to our sinful passions. Only then can we also say no to giving up our faith when we face hardship and suffering. And of course, the reverse is also true. If we can't die to sin daily, then when we face hardship and pressure, we easily deny Christ. We give up the faith. But our text declares that if it is true about us, that we can say no to sin, we can die to self, so that we also can say no to giving up our faith. If that's true, then you see the corresponding promise of glory with Christ. As it says, then we shall also live with Him. Then we shall also reign with Him. You see it? That's how the church encourages one another to endure, to persevere, to be faithful in the face of suffering and even death. No matter how hard it gets, no matter what all we must endure, endure we must. Die daily with Him. It's all worth it. If we do, we shall also live with Him. If we do, we shall also reign with Him. While those resulting phrases, they're in the future tense. And yeah, that causes a whole lot of discussion about, you know, if it is now in this life, as we live in this earth, or if that is for the future glory, our life on the new or renewed heaven and earth. Well, brothers and sisters, if you think of all kinds of scriptures, it becomes clear. It does not have to be one or the other. In fact, here too, the one is an extension or comes out of the other. In other words, as we live with Christ now, we also live with Him in all eternity. That's why Paul, by the Holy Spirit, said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. To live with Christ means I have fellowship with Him in His Word, by His Spirit. So I delight in Him. I love Him. I seek to glorify Him in all of my life. And you see, as that's true, then I also will live with Him in glory. And that's why to die is gain. And the very same is true of we shall also reign with Him. In this life, believers are Christians. And the Heidelberg Catechism reminds us. I trust you know that from the Heidelberg Catechism. Why are you called a Christian? That word means I'm restored as a prophet, priest, and king. I'm anointed with Christ to be a prophet, priest, and king. So think about 1 Peter 2, verse 9. That's written to all believers. And it says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. That's talking about kingly priests. And the main idea of a priest is to be one who prays. We're restored for that. In a real sense, believers rule the world with Christ by means of prayer. It's through the prayers of the saints that Jesus Christ gives grace. It's through the prayers of the saints that Christ also brings judgment. And you see, as that's true, as we live in this life that way, then we also will reign with him in glory. And that's why Jesus declared something that, frankly, is really beyond our comprehension. He declared that we will sit with him on his throne. In Revelation 3:21, Jesus said, to him who overcomes, and that's what our text is about, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. We live with him, we reign with him. Now, and in all eternity. Brothers and sisters, it's so important to see that the center of this, the very basis, the very foundation of it, is the triumphant rule of Jesus Christ. And that's why the Holy Spirit declared, well, like we read in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He rules. In this life, we often have severe trials, even persecutions. And it's getting worse and worse. If you look at the world, keep yourself informed, you can see it. And more, we will find ourselves asking, can we endure? Can we overcome? Can we stay true to our profession of faith? And you see, then the saints sing this song. They sing it with the church of all ages. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. Singing together is a means of grace. The Holy Spirit uses it to make people strong. Singing together gives courage. It's kind of like, come on, let's sing this song, to die with him, to endure. Even when it seems we have nothing left, we still have him, our Savior and our Lord. So Romans 8:37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Brothers and sisters, it is a faithful saying. You can count on it with your very life. If we died with him, if we deny ourselves, if we are willing to endure whatever may come to us, then we also shall live with him and reign with him now and in all eternity. And the church that can sing this also sings the second prayer, which we see in our second point. The promise of judgment by Christ and the way of unfaithfulness. Well, as you look at our text, the first part of this second prayer is, if we deny him, he will also deny us. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 10 and other places? He said, whoever confesses me before men, him I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. See, here the church echoes what her Lord said. And she does it to warn each other. She does it to encourage each other. Brothers and sisters, we must be aware. We must be on guard. Here is the truth of our confession on perseverance. It really comes to life here. What we confess, for example, in Canons of Dort under the P for perseverance, or under the WCF, Westminster Confession of Faith in chapter 17. And yeah, it's so important. The biblical truth of persevering does not make believers, you know, careless. As if, well, we can live any way we want because we can't lose salvation. I've heard that said. No, no, no. Instead, that truth of perseverance brings believers to humility. Because it causes us to know that in ourselves we are very weak and we are prone to fall. We easily deny under pressure. And that's why, as in Philippians 2:12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That is, we warn and sharpen each other. If we deny him, he will deny us. Well, what is it to deny? Probably the sharpest form in the Bible is about Peter, right? And don't quickly dismiss it as if, well, I'll never face what Peter had to face. Who is to say that you or I won't have to stand before an anti-Christian government? If you know anything about what's going on in our country, you know that that's more and more possible. Or that we will be somewhere in public and be confronted with, you also belong to Christ, don't you? Or you belong to that church there, don't you? And if the danger, if the risk is big enough, you know, of being canceled, of losing a friend, of losing your job, in ourselves, we easily give in to fear. It's easy to become cowards so that we turn our back on the Lord Jesus and we end up on the side of his enemies, of the world. Just so we can escape ugly treatment, persecution, and so on. So think of Peter. Three times, Matthew 26. First, he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. Second, again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And then thirdly, he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Yeah, that's denial in its grossest form. But it's also important to know and to understand that to deny him is also to deny his teaching, his word. There are people today who think of themselves as very faithful followers of Jesus, but they deny the very truth in the Bible of who he is and what he does. They want a different Jesus than what's taught in the Bible. That's a reality. We have talked about it together in different occasions. You need to be aware of it. You know, Paul writes in the next chapter in 2 Timothy 3, it's all about hard times are coming. And he gives a long list of how men will be. And if you read that, you can see it's all in us today, in our day. And especially where it says there will be those who have a form of godliness. In other words, they have the outward show of it, but they deny its power. In other words, godliness is not active in their daily life. And Paul, by the Holy Spirit, says, from such people turn away. They are no friend to grace. In chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, it says, time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Having itching ears, they will gather for themselves teachers who will turn you from the truth. And it goes on. Brothers and sisters, this should remind us, the path to denying does not always come suddenly. It can be a more subtle path, where we, for example, are no longer interested in doctrine. We are apologetic about certain truths, even about Jesus, and on and on. Many churches have gone down this path, and ultimately it is to deny him. So think of what we vow in our membership. We heard it earlier. Do you heartily believe the doctrine contained in the Old and New Testament and in the articles of the Christian faith and taught in this Christian church to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation? And do you promise, by the grace of God, steadfastly to continue in this profession? Oh, it's so important there. We make that promise by the grace of God to steadfastly continue. And we also have that grace and comfort that, as Jesus declared, whoever confesses me before men, him I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. In saying that, this is what Jesus is saying. Jesus says, I will stand before my Father and publicly say, yes, Father. He is mine. I bought him, body and soul, with my blood on the cross. And do you realize even now, Jesus, as our final priest, is praying for us? We have a glimpse of it in John 17. Listen to this. Jesus prays, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They are yours. You have given them to me, and they have kept your word. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known, surely, that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. You see, that's why we are not afraid. In fact, we are eager to admonish one another. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And we even add to it, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Well, to be faithless, I think that's pretty obvious. It's to not be steadfast. It's to be unfaithful. In fact, the word there is our word for apostasy, which means turning away from the truth. So it's parallel to if we deny him. Any unfaithfulness by us means we deny him. And it involves all of our life, our attitude to life, our ongoing lifestyle, and so on. Already in Paul's day, there were those in the church who became unfaithful. We read about two of them this morning. But another example is in 2 Timothy 4, where Paul writes, by the Spirit of God, he says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And there are other examples. It happened. It happened then, and sadly it happens today too. And it is easy. It's easy for every one of us to love this present world, so that we let go of our faith, especially when it's under pressure. And the true church confesses it in this song. In fear and trembling, they say to one another, brothers and sisters, let us be aware. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. Yeah, well, then we need to be clear what that means, he remains faithful. Because some argue that it means that even if we are unfaithful, he is faithful to forgive. And of course, in God's great mercy, he is faithful to forgive. As he in grace works repentance in our hearts, for when we are unfaithful, he will forgive. But brothers and sisters, that's not the purpose here in our text. Because the echo or the parallel, which we saw in the first pair, that's also present here. In other words, it's parallel between he will deny us, that's parallel to he remains faithful. So the meaning is related. Denying us is related to being faithful. So yes, he's faithful in his promise of grace and forgiveness, but at the very same time, he's also faithful in his threats. All you have to do is think of the giving of the Ten Commandments. You see both there. God shows mercy to thousands who love me and keep my commandments. So you see, when we are unfaithful, we're showing we do not love him. And by grace, we come to repent and we know his mercy. He's faithful in that. But also, it says, he is faithful in visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to those who hate me. We show we hate him when we do not repent of breaking his commandments, when we do not repent of sinning. And that, brothers and sisters, is to deny him. And to them, Jesus says, him I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. That means Jesus says, I will not own them as those I died for and redeemed. I do not know you. We must see. If God were not faithful in his threats, then he would deny himself. And that's why this song right away adds, he cannot deny himself. Yeah, there's one thing God cannot do. He cannot deny himself. That is who he is. He is both a God of love and mercy, and also a God of wrath and judgment. He remains faithful in both. So, brothers and sisters, we need to know this as a church. We need to know this in our homes, that God will not just somehow overlook our unfaithfulness, and especially our refusing to repent of it. If he did, he would deny himself. So in conclusion, may the Holy Spirit speak to each one of us here this morning so that we know this is a faithful saying. You can hang your life on it. You know, as a church, in a real sense, we also sing this song to one another. We call one another to be faithful to our vows. And we seek God's grace to forgive when we have come to see that we have been unfaithful. So brothers and sisters, we need to really know that this faithful saying, both parts of it, it's not given to frighten us. It's not given to cause each other to be troubled. No, it is to drive us again and again to Jesus Christ. He's the glorious center of our text. Have no doubt, the one who has Christ has everything for this life and the one that is to come. The one that lets him go, denies him because of trouble, trials, or hardship. He loses everything. He loses everything. Hang on it. It's a faithful saying. Always, in all things, it is Christ and him alone, no matter what I must have to suffer and endure. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to encourage us to be faithful. to encourage us to persevere in the midst of whatever you are pleased to have us face and endure. O Lord, we pray that also this word will so much prepare us to partake of the Lord's Supper, where we do have the very visible signs of what our Savior has done for us and how it comes that we belong to Him, and to be renewed in that covenant, to know that He will confess us before your throne of grace, that He has died for us. So, Father, we pray, may your word accomplish the purpose that you've given it to us, and may you also bless us as we now also partake of the Lord's Supper. We pray this in Jesus' name, who lives and rules forevermore. Amen.